We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 104. I'm Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from TVholic.com. And this week we have joining us...
Sandy Sahakian from Damon's TV.
She's an old pro.
I'm an old pro.
Welcome, Sandy. We love Sandy.
Yay.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the old pro line would be funnier if you were listening to us right before we started recording, but, you know.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to say that. So, yes, we're going to talk a little bit of news, a little bit of Comic-Con, a little bit of primetime. So, a couple renewals, cancellation information. A&E has renewed Breakout Kings for a second season, and I watched every episode, and I really liked it. So, I mean, it wasn't, like, the best thing on TV, but I definitely enjoyed it enough to be happy about that.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, outstanding, but they ended up with some actually interesting character backstories and of how they put the team together and where it ended up at the end of the season. It will make for, you know, how they work together in the next season, so...
Love Jimmy Simpson. I just love him.
Yeah.
It actually make like a really good sort of like summer series. Like it's sort of action oriented type of thing. Good escapist fun.
Yes. So also TNT has renewed Falling Skies for a second season, which I don't think was any shock. I think everybody was kind of expecting. I mean, and rightfully so. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it would have to have in the subsequent episodes like completely fall off the table.
But I've seen 7 hours of it, and I like it enough. I'm excited.
Waiting for the end of July so you can see a new episode.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's like you watch six, and then you're like...
I forget to set my DVR. I always do. When I have a show that's like 7 weeks advance, I never remember, and then I miss the whole season.
I know. Look at us complaining that we saw six things in advance.
We do this all the time. We're such jerks.
Yep, there the listeners go going, those jerks talking about screeners again.
Stars has canceled Camelot after one season. I read somewhere online that somebody was like, oh, how are we ever going to find out how it ends? I mean, like, they were joking, but I just thought that was hysterical.
You know, the funny thing is, I just started watching it, and I like it, so
I liked it enough that I didn't think it needed to be canceled, but what do I know? I don't know anything about these
things. Yeah, I started watching it, and... then got a little bit behind, and then when I saw that they had canceled it, I decided not to finish watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Really? See, I started watching it after I knew it was canceled. I was like, oh, what?
You want to see why?
Well, no, I actually wanted to see the show, and it's good. I'm enjoying it, even if it's canceled.
I think that Arthur was a little ill-cast. Otherwise, it was quite enjoyable.
I liked it. So far, I like it, so, you know.
I saw something today that the Torchwood ratings were roughly the same as what Camelot scored.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about Torchwood because it does have a built-in fan base, but I'm just wondering if the low ratings, quote, you know, are because it's on Stars and not that many people have Stars. I don't know if it was enough for people to sign up for it. Maybe they're just waiting for the DVD or something. Who knows?
Also, in exciting renewal news, because I'm very excited about this, because I love Joey Lawrence, Melissa and Joey has been renewed, even though I feel like it's already been renewed, but I guess it's on, like, episode 27 of its 40-episode first season, or something like that. So that's going to be renewed for a second season, which is nice, because I want to see my cousin keep a job, because the singing is not very good. Spoiler alert. Yeah, so I think that's all we have for news today. So it's time for... our Comic-Con conversation. So the three of us, we pretty much get together at Comic-Con. That's where we see each other, unless the press set visit comes up. And I feel like every year what I'm interested in and what I'm not interested in changes. Which, I mean, I guess is based on the previous year, so that makes perfect sense. But I don't know. I just go into each year like, I'm not going to be pissed off by Sunday, and I usually am. Like, it just never always happens.
Go in with high hopes every year, and then dash by Sunday afternoon.
You fail terribly. Oh my God.
Some of it changes based on when things get scheduled and new shows that you may want to see something about as opposed to shows that have been there before. And,
yeah.
So, there's those kinds of conflicts of of what are you going to do for you change a little bit with, well, this is new and I'd like to see something about this. I've never been to, you know, see anything about this. So
I always think that I'm going to do that, but then
you go to the same things
every time. I go to the same because they're all in the same room and I just feel like, well, I'm already there. What am I?
Exactly.
Just, you know, because you're never sure if you're going to be able to get in the other room. So I just feel like, well, yeah, I don't want to just get out and then not be able to do anything. So I might as well just stay and just watch everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
More about that on question four in our 5-question roundtable.
<preview. laughs> Yeah, that's a preview. So our first question obviously is, what are we most looking forward to? What panel, what press room, what are you most looking forward to being at? I don't know that I have one. I mean, I do. There's a lot of stuff going on that I'm like looking forward to. I don't know. I always like the psych one. I always love the cast. I always like the Chuck panel. But there's nothing jumping out of me at like, I can't wait. I guess Sons of Anarchy, because I just love Charlie Hunnam so much, but
and because it'll be easy to get into Hall H on Sunday afternoon.
Oh my God! Exactly. Never been in Hall H before.
It's huge. It's really good.
I know. I'm not sure if I'm prepared for that. When I read something on Comic-Con's website today that said Hall H has its own bathrooms, so I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to try and get a pass or something.
You don't need to get out at all. You're just stuck in there.
I love it.
For me, you know, panel, press room is kind of the same. The Chuck panel is always fun, but for me, the thing I'm looking forward most to is the Chuck press room, because I was, for whatever reason, I was never able to get in it the last 2 years, and I've been able to get into it this year.
Nice.
And it's last year, so
it's a good time as any to get into it.
I was super happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna kind of wing it. I'm gonna float wherever I end up. I mean, my schedule's pretty. I've never actually done, I think maybe I am excited. Maybe I am.
You're not sure.
I've never actually done sci-fi press rooms or panels. I mean, I did like Caprica last year, but I've never done consistently every show that they're bringing. And I'm actually pretty excited about a lot of the sci-fi stuff this year. So I'm going to try and do a lot of that. Being Human, I really look forward to. So I don't know. We'll kind of just see.
Sci-fi runs their stuff pretty good, you know, like Warner Brothers.
Yeah, they run them. I mean, they have a plan. Like, other networks, you get in there, and it's just a crapshoot. And it's scary.
I'm really looking forward to the Lock and Key screening, actually.
Yeah.
It's the pilot that wasn't picked up, and I'm such a fan of the comic book, so.
I like that it already has an encore presentation, too, because they're assuming it's going to do really well, like, and be booked, which I think is cool.
Well, some of it is just that it might not be that it's, the room fills out for it the first time. It's just that you'll be at something else.
Yeah.
Like you might be at the Torchwood panel or something, or wanting to get into for something else. So
it's
nice that they're giving you a chance later that night to.
It's a pretty popular comic book, so there might be a lot of people there just because of
that.
Yeah,
it sounded like, I mean, a lot of people were excited about it.
I know. I was really excited about it, and I'm kind of sad that it's not going to be a show. So that's probably the one that is special this year compared to last year, because it's not really a panel, and it's something that you wouldn't be able to see anywhere else. So I'm going to try to do that. So that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most.
Cool.
Well, they're going to have a little bit of a Q&A afterwards, though, I guess.
Yeah, I think
they have
that's
a different panel.
Yeah.
It's a different panel. It's like screening, and then after there's a Q&A, and then they're screening again at night.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept. I'm surprised more people, like more networks haven't tried something like that or more. I mean, I know this wasn't the network. I know this was like the comic book people being like, well, let's screen it. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what non-panel press room thing are you most looking forward to? I don't know that I have anything this year.
Well, for me, the thing I look forward to is sort of non-Comic-Con, you know, official event type thing is hanging out and meeting like you guys. And
meanwhile, Jason's starting to get verklempt and he's crying, and
yeah,
I just really enjoy spending time with you.
Single tear coming down my eye.
Single tear.
No, but that's
it's true,
like,
though.
Like, you know, 2 years ago was the first time I met you, Amory, and then last year's first time I met Sandy, and so, you know, there's getting to meet some of the people that you only know via like Twitter or something, or
I mean, like Kyle, I met Kyle last year. Yeah. That was nice to put a face for a name.
I know it makes for an interesting meeting. Who are you? And you say your name, people look at you, and you're like, I'm Sandy Davis. They're like, I know your Twitter handle. Like, you have to see your Twitter handle. It's always really funny. You're like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing yet, but I know that we're doing something, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
I do. I have to say, that is one of the things that I do look forward to the most.
I like walking the floor.
Yeah, I mean, walking the floor gets a little scary to me, because I'm not... I do okay with crowds, but I still, like...
Well, you have to go on the side where there aren't, like, where the Warner Brothers and all stuff, there aren't, because I usually walk around to see the comic book stuff, so... So I stay away from the crowd.
I'm not a huge comic book fan. But I do actually have to go to the Hasbro booth this year to look for something for my brother's softball friend. I don't know. That came out funny. But my friend Tony, somebody I've known since like elementary school, he's like, hey, if you're going to the Hasbro booth, get me something from Ghostbusters. When he first said like Hasbro, I'm like, don't they make Barbies? I don't know if they're the same. Or maybe I was supposed to go to the Mattel booth and get the I don't know. It was ridiculous. But so I actually have to go to the floor just because I didn't much last year.
Now, is the preview night, do you guys think it's going to be that as bad as last year?
Cause I think it might be worse.
Well, but then they reduced the number of...
Well, I think preview night will be about the same as last year. The year before was what was really
bad.
And then they reduced it, and I think they... I'm not sure if they reduced it more or what, but... It was definitely less on the preview night. So definitely if you have a pass for preview night that includes preview night is a pretty good time to actually, especially towards the, I don't know, like say around like 7 o'clock or something like that, 6 o'clock after, as the night gets closer, it's easier to get in there and walk around and there's not.
Yeah.
And the same thing on, granted it's towards the end, but the same thing at the end of the day on, towards the end of the day on Sunday is a good time to go walk around on the floor too, because there's less people. But it's one of those things that you ought to try doing once just because of the ridiculousness of people in costumes trying to walk through these giant crowds where you're just shoulder to shoulder with people. And you get into the flow of traffic and you'll see where you want to go and you're like, no, I need to get over there. You're just going because everybody's going this direction.
Yeah.
it's like getting caught in a riptide or
you know what though, you
undertow.
Do kind of get stuck in there. The people, some of the people that work on the floor, like they all hold signs, like arrows that you have to go. Like last year, Ray and I were trying to get around to the Warner Brothers booth and we just kept having to go right, like in a square. I'm like, you realize there's a flaw in your system.
We're going
right
in circles.
5 times. If you go right 5 times, you're back where you were. Like, oh my God. Yeah. But I do want to, I will try that. What thing are you least looking forward to?
The lines.
Yes. The people.
The people. Yeah, just in general.
Oh my God. People in general.
Yeah, I think it's the lines.
The lines are always the worst.
Yeah.
For getting into the panels.
I think it's because they're so unpredictable. Like, you never know really how early you should, like, you know. Yeah. Like, should I? Because if you're like, if you try to come, you know, not too early, but like early enough, you might just not make it. But if you come too early, then you're really tired.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's finding that sweet spot for the lines. But yeah, I think it's standing in lines. Especially if you don't have. You don't end up with like a line standing buddy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, we're all in different places or we're all going to, you know, people that you actually know down there, you know, but you're all going to, sometimes you're going to different things or your schedules are just like, and sometimes you can't wait for somebody to get in line with because you don't want to like be farther down
exactly.
the line.
Exactly.
And stuff. And so, but if you can, speaking of the next question, there's a tip. If you can find somebody,
what tips would you give the first
time? If you've got a friend to get in line with, it makes the line standing experience much more
or
fun.
Bring a book or something. Yeah. I always bring comic books because I bought a few, so I'm always like reading. Might as well.
I've actually gotten a lot of pictures and stuff like that I've taken the day before, like on my phone or stuff like that. I sit there and upload them, you know.
Like, carry a phone charger because you need to charge your phone and because it will die because internet sucks there. Do we know if it's going to be sponsored by anybody?
The Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
somebody probably will or whatever, but it doesn't matter whether they do free Wi-Fi and it's just, or it's sponsored by somebody, or it's sucked both years that I've been there.
It's terrible that I've been there. Every year that I've been there, it's terrible.
Like last year, I ended up just using my phone for like Twittering and keeping up to date because it.
What provider do you have? Because I have AT&T and that didn't work too well either.
Verizon.
And I have AT&T and it was not very well.
I had Verizon and I could use the Twitter apps and stuff like that on my phone and stay up to date. Meanwhile, my computer hooked up to the Comic-Con Wi-Fi and I'm like sending a message and wait like 10 seconds for it to post and then it would. Stuff would never update, you know, it'd like take forever to update stuff from, and so you were always behind and stuff, and so I just closed down the computer. I was like, I'm getting stuff on my phone.
Yeah, internet is not good.
That's no. When they, as they refurbish and enlarge the convention center, I hope one of the things they do is actually like figure out how to install like good.
Yes.
Why
I mean, even if you make people pay, I would rather pay and actually have a connection there than nothing, than something that's free but doesn't work. You know, I want, just give me the option of you know, paying and then getting something.
Yes. What other tips? Wear deodorant, brush your teeth.
Bring a chair. I always bring a folding chair to wait in line. Oh, it's like I always think I probably look stupid, but I don't care because it is so comfortable.
No, it's not a bad idea.
Who's that with the little chair and the?
I swear.
And the comic books.
This is the best tip that I can give anyone. If you're gonna wait in line for a really long time, they have those really tiny, you know, kind of folding chairs, they're so great. You just put them on your shoulder, you know, walk around with it, and then I just sit down in the same room all day, so I don't really have to carry it that much with me. So that's my tip.
My tip is to pack head to toe because you're less than, you guys all know this. I talk about my packing list all the time, my head to toe packing list. Seriously, if you pack like head to shoulders, neck or head to neck, shoulders to waist, hips to legs, like and feet, I guarantee you will not forget something because you will overthink it and then you'll pack too much. But that's fine.
You'll have to pay $100,000 of extra baggage fees to get your stuff on the plane, but you'll be prepared.
Yeah, but sometimes that's the price you have to pay.
No, I think some tips are like bring a water bottle.
Bring snacks, yeah, because they're so expensive. Bottle,
because they do provide bottled water, big bottled water dispensers in a lot of the rooms, and so you can just continually fill up your bottle all day long. With the, you know, whatever it is, sparklets or whatever they've got going, and then the other is snacks and food, because buying food inside the place is like buying food at, you know, a baseball game or at the movies. It's ridiculous. So bring some food in with you. Especially,
I recommend Skittles. Yeah. I have Skittles on every time I fly ever.
Especially if you're going to be. You know, one of those people that camps out in like Ballroom 20 all day or something like that. And I'm surprised there's panels going to like 7 and 8 o'clock. So
there's a lot. Yeah, they're going real. I feel like it's a lot later than it's been years
on some days. And so if you're planning on staying in Ballroom 20 most of the day for TV stuff or moving around to some of the trying to move around to some of the smaller panels or whatever, while there's places to go that are not far from the convention center. It's hard to get out and away and then come back to the convention center without it taking like a couple hours, you know?
Yes.
And you can miss a lot of stuff and getting in line for other things. And so, bring some, you know, snacks, protein bars, and
Skittles.
And Skittles.
I swear, I never get through a Comic-Con without a bag of Skittles. What else is
it that
important?
Your bag of Skittles never makes it through Comic-Con?
My bag of Skittles always makes it till Sunday. I plan so perfectly that I make it till Sunday every time.
Is that because you start with the Costco size?
No, you know what? I get a normal size Skittle bag, and I pace myself because I know I'm going to need them until Sunday. But you know what? I stay like a couple days after Comic-Con too, so I always have to have enough. I sometimes don't gauge it very well for the last couple days of my trip. What was our fifth one? Oh, places to eat. So there's one more question.
Just real quick on the tips and stuff is also we did we did a similar podcast to this last year, and I'll post a link back to that one, because that one had, that post also had a bunch of links to some good articles on stuff to prepare for if you're a first timer, and so we'll link to that off the show notes for this one as well, so you can either listen to that previous podcast or go to those articles as well.
Cool. So our last thing is, because I'm always talking about my favorite place to eat in San Diego, which is called Bar Basic, but we want to talk about some of our favorite places to, like, hang out outside of the comic, like the convention center. So truly, like, my favorite place is Basic, Bar Basic. It's on K, 10th and K, and it's amazing, and they have the most amazing. It's got pears, gorgonzola, arugula, candied walnuts, and, like, a really sweet vinaigrette. I can eat the whole bowl. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, is it, I don't...
Is it a restaurant, or is it...
It is. It's a restaurant. They make really, really good pizza.
Yeah, they have pretty good pizza, too.
Their pizza's really... Like, they make a mashed potato pizza. Who does that? And it's really good, but, like, I don't even eat the pizza. Like, I love... Oh, my God. I love the salad. I can't live without the salad. It's amazing. So that's one of my favorite places. I actually have been Googling frozen yogurt because, like, I like Pinkberry enough.
To see if there's any place besides Pinkberry that's closed?
Yeah, but I want to go to, like, a self-serve or something because I'm kind of obsessed with that. And I didn't find one. Well, there's one at Horton Plaza. So that's not too bad. It's like a 20-minute walk.
Yeah, that's not too far.
Yeah,
but the thing I'm hoping for on the Pinkberry front is that they have their happy hour going again.
I don't remember what that is. What's their happy hour?
They had last year. They had like on their special summer flavor or whatever, which was watermelon.
Oh, that was so good! And I called it watermelon, and they were like, "I'm sorry, we have a watermelon." Or they didn't know what I was saying. They're like, yeah. "What are you saying? What do you think I'm saying? It's the only melon on your list. What do you think I'm saying?"
It was like a certain time, like from 5 to 6 or something like that. There was some hour, 2 hours, where their summer, special summer flavor was half off. So,
oh, nice.
That was...
I did not know that. I should definitely... Hopefully they have watermelon again this year, because it was really good, too. What else
and
do
it's
I...
Actually, it's actually worth it at half price.
It totally is. Where else do you guys like to go?
I don't really know that many places there, but I know that there's a restaurant I like in San Diego called Extreme Desserts, and they have really good desserts. And good
I've never and been stuff. There, and I think I saw Vlada, and somebody else was talking about it.
It's really good. It's really nice. They, you know, you can eat, and then you can have lots of desserts on display, and it's really nice. So, but it's you know, you have to walk a little bit, but if you don't know where else to go, it's a nice change.
Cool. I'm going to have to look that up because I did hear about it.
Yeah, there's lots of places just right there across from the convention center and, you know, right there at the start of Gaslamp. And
yeah, there's a lot. And Cafe Diem. Oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't mention Cafe Diem. Yeah, I love Cafe Diem.
They're turning the Hard Rock little eatery into Cafe Diem once again.
It's the best place on earth.
I've never been there. Is it good?
Oh my
I was
God,
wondering.
We go all the time. Like it's always like by the end of the day, you're like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? And since it's open like forever, I think it's open to 2. We're just like, well, I guess we can just go to Cafe Diem. And everybody's like, yes,
that's
we can. And they
funny.
Have amazing chicken fingers, and I love it.
Yeah,
plus, they have
good.
Giant pictures of sci-fi people on the wall. Yeah. And then there was the time I was really drunk, and I was just staring at a picture of Eric Balfour, who
and last year they had it
I
so
love.
That you, they could they were. They were green screening you into photos with the cast of the,
oh, really?
The sci-fi shows.
That's funny.
Okay, so that's our little tips for Comic-Con because we have to move on to our prime time because there's some good stuff to talk about tonight. We're basically just talking about one night of television because there's so much happening. But really, we're going to talk about everything that is airing the night we're talking, which is these are all Monday shows. So we want to start first with Eureka, Season 4, Episode 11, Liftoff. I love Zane. I just love him.
This episode is just classic Eureka, though. Like,
yeah.
Fargo ends up in the middle of some, you know, even though he's now the head of the place, he still ends up in the middle of a problem that gets caused. And granted, they've time jumped and changed the timeline, you know, so, but still a pretty big extreme like problem that arises with, yeah, with them ending up in space. So of being launched, but in a capsule that has, you know, ancient technology, but also a lot of stuff has been disengaged because they were working on it.
Right, of course. And Zane's involved in stealing things. Yes, of course.
And just it has all the classic elements of how the problem gets caused, how the problem gets solved.
Yeah.
And ultimately that they end up having to, you know, solve it without, doesn't like the electrical grid go down?
Yeah. Oh, everything. And they end up on horseback. Like a sonic boom, and then they're on horseback, and then, like, everything that happens can happen. Andy's wedding doesn't go through with Sarah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's true. See, I get so confused because I'm thinking of probably two episodes ahead of that.
Because you watched, like, three episodes of this.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I don't want to say anything that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Like, wait, what happened in this episode?
of future episodes, the next episode, the thing I'll say about that one is has one of the best uses of music in a show I've seen in a while.
But I'll really like that one.
Since this will come out before then, and we don't want to spoil that. But
exactly.
But yeah, just a lot of fun, and just happy to have Eureka back on TV.
Right.
It's just one of my, it's one of my favorite shows, just because.
I'm with them.
And they've definitely upped it a notch with the changing of the timeline and how that keeps messing with them.
And it does. I mean, it provides, like, kind of endless stories, and they do it so well because it is, like, it's an endless loop of things they can do.
You're supposed to know everything about your life, pretty much, like, have a decent idea of what things you've been a part of, but you really wouldn't know how to go back and, like, research yourself to be able to have the information on things that you've done, and so you'll run into people that'll be talking to you about stuff, and then, you know.
You have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So then my thing with Zane and Joe, because I'm a Zane and Joe lover, I love them. So did Fargo tell Zane that they...
He hints at it, right? Yeah. Because he thinks they're about to...
That's right. He thinks they're going to die. Okay.
They're about to die, that they're not going to be saved. And so he does let slip enough of it that, you know, he now, you know, knows.
I don't know. I'm with you. I love the show.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I call it my happy show.
And what I like to, like, about the first episode, like, yes, they allow their character, like, some shows don't allow their characters to have, like, relationships or they're going to fall apart. You know what I mean? So, like, Jack and Allison can have a relationship and argue and, like, be mad at each other, but the show still is, like, happy and, I don't know, I just love it so much.
Yeah. I think it was just a really smart move that they did with the time traveling thing, and like you mentioned, and it's just I just enjoy seeing how it impacts everything in their life. Plus, it makes it like watching a new show, because even though, you know, Joe and Zane were together before, for example, now it's like, oh, come on, we barely just saw them, and now you're like, exactly, you're undoing everything. You can root for them again, and it doesn't feel like, oh yeah, they were together, they're together again, or they're not. No, they're totally different. So that was really
smart. Actual, like, good reason.
Exactly.
I mean, how many shows seem to break people up and pull people apart
just girlfriend
for no reason? Type of, it doesn't seem.
Hannah, parentheses Bones.
Yeah, it just seems like they're throwing something in for a. But this is a sort of a hefty storyline that they've thrown into this fun show, and so you get sort of a new show, but you get all your favorite characters.
Exactly.
They're all still the same, and they're just having to deal with all this new stuff, and the next couple episodes are really good as well.
Yeah, I agree. Felicia Day, anybody?
Yeah, she's great.
Is awesome in Eureka. So
it's like she's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So Warehouse 13, speaking of perfect fits, actually, Warehouse 13 Season 3, Episode 1, The New Guy. I thought that Pete and Steve is his name, I thought that they had great chemistry.
Oh my god, I just wrote about this today. This is, like, the best season premiere of Warehouse 13, and I love Steve Jinks. He's like,
I love Steve
best
Jinks! You're lying. You're lying. No, you're lying. Come on.
Oh yeah. You're lying. And then when he tells him the truth, it's just so perfect. And she's like, oh, thank you. All right, yeah, now okay, go, now, go fix the thing.
It's like, what? So it's good, you guys. For a while there, I wasn't, like, feeling Warehouse 13 as much as I had been. Like, in the beginning, I loved the first season. I thought it was really smart, and I was really enjoying it. But then I kind of, I don't know, along came, like, H.G. Wells and all that stuff. And I don't even remember watching the finale last year where Michael was like, that's it, I'm done. But apparently I did, because I remembered it. And then it was just a nice introduction for the Steve guy. Also keeping, you know, spoiler alert, keeping Joanne Kelly involved. I just thought it was really smart.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out going forward, how they incorporate him in with her being back.
Yeah.
And then I like those, it's sort of, you know, he's sort of like, I'm trying to think of, there's some other character recently, you know, that has, that's sort of like the human lie detector type of thing.
Lie to me?
Yeah, there you go. Totally. Well, you know, once it gets canceled, totally forget about it. But yeah, you know, being that sort of being able to read people, but he has sort of like this special ability. But I also liked it brought, you know, seeing somebody get recruited again.
Yeah.
And that whole thing. And
I like that he right away called them on their their sexual tension. Why don't you just let that play out somewhere else? And they don't even they don't stop to talk about it. They just acknowledge that, yeah, it's there. Whatever. Loved it.
So yeah, and definitely looking forward to the next episode.
Now, they only sent one episode of this, right? So...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with all of you guys. I'm for a second episode.
Yeah, looking forward to next week.
Yeah. Set your DVR, Emery. Set your DVR. Yeah,
I know. This one I have already written down and recorded. So we're good to go there.
All right.
It's on the living room DVR, not the bedroom DVR, because I've got two. But yeah, I mean, nothing more really to say about that except that we enjoyed it, and you guys should too. And the closer, season 7, episode 1, Unknown Trouble. So, this is the beginning of the end for Brenda. And it's not going to be easy.
The case is really good. Like, they always do a really good job of how they set up the case of the week type stuff. But everything else that's going around it that they set up in this episode, from where things ended last.
Happened.
Yeah. So much happens, and right down to the end, that you're just like,
yeah,
this season is going to be...
I actually was very, like, sometimes... I don't know. Shows don't really, like, surprise me a lot. There are some that I'm just like, wait, that came out of nowhere. But I actually was pretty shocked to, like, see him go down at the end of the episode. Like, wait a minute. That makes sense. That makes sense. They're going to explain how Raider's involved and all this stuff now. Like, it makes sense that it would happen, but I still didn't see it coming.
Because they've been setting up all this tension between him as, you know... them having been going after the same job and him getting it, and who was going to be taking over the new...
I love Taylor walking around, sneaking around corners and stuff.
Yeah, he sort of knew what his next job was going to be, you know, ahead of time, but wasn't really letting anybody else know. But yet, that happens, the guy dies, but it hasn't been officially... Everything hasn't officially been put in place, so I'm interested to see the next episode.
Wait, did he really die?
Well, it's...
Or did he just, like have a heart attack? Because they don't show that he died, right?
Does he? I thought... I didn't know.
I just remember ending with him being on the ground, and they're like, man, damn!
Right. Something happens to him that it looked like that he's not going to be, like...
I guess we'll have to tune in next week to find out.
It just left it in such a place that you were like, okay, all the things that he was about to announce are not officially in place.
Right.
What does this make... What's going to happen with all these different characters? But then setting up the civil suit against her and the squad, which brings Captain Raider back in, which is good since they need to develop her more.
Yeah.
They did some last year, but they started this season off where she's not quite, you know, where even Brenda's like, I thought we were, you know, sort of like, I thought we were becoming friends or whatever. But I think to build that so that she can take over when this series spins off, I think is smart having her... going to need to be around a lot more. It's just one of my favorite shows again, like so much good TV on Monday night, like to go along, like Sunday Mondays right now over the summer is like a ridiculous amount of good TV. But this one sets up with the rap artist being, you know, and his entourage being taken out, and their openings are so good. The way they set up the opening credits and letting you slowly into what the story is going to be for that episode, and with the rap video playing on the TV, And then how much the song itself plays into the solving of the case. I mean, it's just so, everything was just written well. The cast, you know, remains to be great. And it looks like they've set up for the final season, and there's not going to be any drop-off. Like, they're still at, like, the top of their game.
Right. So, I'm loving The Closer, too, and I will keep watching, and I'm probably going to keep watching when the spinoff happens, because as much as I love Brenda, like, I love the cast, too, so. Okay.
Yeah, some of what's fun is, like, Provenza and all the other things.
Lynn and Provenza are the best.
They get into.
Yes. So, another Sci-Fi Monday show, Alphas, brand new show, season 1, episode 1, pilot. What did everybody think?
Jason, you want to start, or?
we'll let you go first.
Why is everybody afraid to say this? What happened? Why? I don't know.
Oh, no, I just...
How come nobody wants to be first to talk about Alphas?
No, I'll talk about Alphas. I was interested in watching it, but, you know, I was a little unsure as to how good it was going to be, because I was like, okay, we've seen superhero people with abilities before. I was very pleasantly surprised. I really, really, really love the first episode. It's like an hour and a half or something. It's one of the new shows. I'm like, okay, season pass for me.
Yeah.
Right after that, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely, definitely worth watching, I think.
Actually, what I liked a lot about it is that it was the character. I wrote this today when I was writing about it. Like, even though it's an hour and a half, like, I felt like they filled so many blanks in going in, but without exposition. Like, just the way the characters were acting, just the way the characters were interacting, you understood so much, and you kind of didn't want it to end because you knew the characters so well already. And I think Ryan Cartwright is incredible. Gary, I think he's doing an incredible job. No one? Jason?
Well, it's one of those, I agree with all the stuff that you're saying, but for whatever reason, it just didn't, like, grab me. And I watched it a second time last night, because it had been a while ago since I watched it. So I watched it again last night, and it's good. There's some stuff set up in it that intrigues me to go forward, but it was so Rubicon in its pacing and some of its setup that it was not totally boring in places, but just, I think part of the problem is that if you watch the trailer, you know, the advertisements and stuff like that that they've had out online and they play on TV, it looks way more action-packed and, you know, and stuff like that, and it ended up being a much more sort of cerebral and investigation and stuff like that, where they did use their abilities some. But it definitely, you know, it looked much more fast-paced. And so some of it is going into it with that expectation. And so that sort of hurt it for me. That always happens when an expectation isn't met. But it's one that, to me, they sort of set.
I don't know. I didn't think that maybe, going in, and I didn't think that it was too slow for me. I enjoyed it.
Maybe it's going to pick up in a future episode. Maybe they were showing... Yeah. Previews of a mix. Yeah. I guess I wasn't expecting it to be that fast paced either, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just that was just the expectation I went in with, so that was part of why it didn't quite come off as well for me.
Right.
The performances are good, like you mentioned. What's his name?
Vincent Nigel Murray. He's the best.
For the guy from Bones, playing the autistic that can see.
Radio waves or whatever.
Yeah.
TV signals and any sort of that type of stuff he can connect with. He gives a really good performance. I mean, and a lot of them do pretty good. But like I said, I'm interested in some of the plot elements that they set up of the, what is it, a red flag or whatever, of like a secret group that was taken down but seems to be back. And, and so there is some stuff that they set up to move forward with of that's bigger.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely interested to see how they go about working together and seeing also how it plays out on, you know, like 42 minutes instead of 64 minutes.
Right.
Of actual episode. But I do like, as I've said previously with some of the shows, that I do like the extended pilot episode.
Yeah.
Either going 90 minutes or 2 hours, you know, with the commercials and stuff like that. Especially for these types of series where you have a sizable cast.
And a pretty dense story that you need to tell.
And stuff that you want to set up. They did a good job of that, I think, with Suits and Necessary Roughness and stuff like that on USA. And I mentioned, I think, before that like I wish they had done that with something like Nine Lives of Chloe King.
Right.
That these type of shows that have these sort of big backstories that they're setting up, there needs to be a little bit more given about that to get your interest instead of sort of a passing mention. I mean, there's enough in this one to because the whole sort of case revolves around somebody trying to find out about these guys. You know, there's there's somebody taking pictures of them, and so it does sort of set up a lot of that. I'm definitely going to be watching it. I'll tell you this, it's definitely a better option than the next show we're going to talk about.
Good segue. Rizzoli and Isles, Season 2, Episode 1, We Don't Need Another Hero. Listen, I'm not going to say that Rizzoli and Isles is Shakespeare, because it's not, and I'm not going to say that these actresses are any good, because I don't love them, but I kind of love this show.
Why don't you tell us why, Emery?
See, because I just said the reasons why I shouldn't love it. Yeah. No, I guess I do love Angie Harmon, and I think that's where it comes from. Like, I just think that she's, I don't know, I like her sarcastic kind of approach to it. And I love Chris Vance, and everybody knows that Chris Vance and I had a meet cute at Comic-Con last year, so I'm very excited about that. I don't know, I just, it's easy TV to just watch. Like, you don't have to think, you don't have to worry about anything. Just put it on in the background. You can stay, if you're staying up late to do something, Rizzoli and Isles can be the show you watch while you're staying up late, because it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to make you think too much before you go to sleep.
Rizzoli and Isles is awesome because it's great background noise. That's the best.
Yeah, basically. I mean, basically.
I can't wait to see that pull quote in on the ads.
Comparatively speaking, I would
Rizzoli and Isles, great background noise.
Comparatively speaking,
my take
I would
on
never
TV.
Put Seventh Heaven on in the background. I would never put The Secret Life of the American Teenager on. I would never put, like, Eastbound and Down on in the background. Like, those are shows that I just don't like. This show is perfectly benign, and I like it. So, and nobody's going to change my mind.
I have nothing against Rizzoli and Isles. To be honest, I think I just watched the first episode of season one, and then I just gave up. So I don't even know if it's... From what I hear, it got better. I just, you know, I just never caught up to it.
Yeah.
Like, plus, I'm not a big procedural fan, so that already is just not for me. So it's nothing against the show. It's just...
I mean, I like a lot of the elements of it.
Jason does a lot of venom against the show.
I like a lot of the elements of it. I like the two stars. I kind of like their play off of each other. I mean, I kind of like, and I've said this before too, is I like characters that have, you know, like she's, you know, brilliant in more than just her field. She knows all kinds of stuff about all kinds of stuff.
Right.
But there's something about it, and gonna have to say that it's the writing.
Probably. The writing's probably the weakest.
And that next it has to be the directing that it's not quite getting. Because I've seen both of the leads, I've seen better in other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen them do better. And then some of the lines that they're delivering and then the way the cases are set up and solved, they're just not, especially following the closer, there's like a serious drop-off in it, but yet it's highly polished and looks really good. I mean, it looks high quality, like it's up there. That, you know, it doesn't, from a production standpoint, it doesn't look like it's lacking.
Right.
But just the story elements and some of the way things play off in the show and stuff like that, they just fall flat for me. And I really wanted to like it more. I still watch it, like you said.
You're one of those people who watches shows to hate it, aren't you?
I don't hate it. I just don't, you know, love it.
Right.
I'm in the, here's all the things I don't like about it, but I still like it. You're in the, here's all the things I don't like about it, but I love it.
Right. So. Right. We're in the, let's still watch.
So that's where we're at. But overall, it's Monday night, and you add in, I actually like Switched at Birth. There's actually.
Yeah, I do too. I like Teen Wolf.
All of a sudden, boom, there's just this huge amount of TV on...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
On Monday night.
Yeah, right? Is it summer or what? Because it doesn't feel like summer.
Like, normally I go to Comic-Con and I don't have to worry about my DVRs being full, like, and I can clean it up or whatever when I get back. Nope, not this year.
Not this year.
Yeah, it's there's stuff every night, but Sundays have been kind of ridiculous. Like just last night, there was
Sunday has been bad.
Just last night, there was 6 shows, and 4 of them are on at the same time.
And I haven't watched any of them because Kurt called, and we were on the phone for too long.
Speaking of being on the phone for too long.
Speaking of being on the phone. Good segues today. No. I did want to just say that I'm still watching like every competition reality show that's out there, and I don't really have a favorite on any show, except I'm really excited for Design Star because I love Design Star. I watch HGTV all the time, so it's exciting. But the funny thing is, I never watch the winner's show. Like, I watch HGTV, and I just don't care about the winner once they've won, but I do enjoy the show.
I think that's probably what
you like the competition.
I like Color Splash. I do watch Color Splash. I don't love his assistant, but I like the show. I don't know. I'm just excited for it. So that's all we have today.
Is it?
Yeah, those are our shows today.
Unless there's something else you want to talk about, unless there's some other summer show that's been eating at you that you just have to say something about?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot right here. Oh, no. I'm gonna regret not having anything prepared right now. I don't know. I like quite a few shows, but I don't have anything off the top of my head.
We're all gonna do the closing and say goodbye and hang up on Skype, and you'll go,
absolutely. I mean, obviously, I like the obvious, you know, shows like True Blood and Torchwood and all of that. But
yes. I like Teen Wolf, guys. I'm surprised that I like Teen Wolf. I don't like the lead, and I don't like the lead's girlfriend.
Another show on Monday night of the ridiculous amount of TV that's on Mondays now.
But yeah, I'm just kind of watching everything.
Yeah, I watch a lot of stuff too.
Oh, don't forget Rescue Me premieres, and it's the final season, and it's incredible, and because it's insane. It's just insane. And that's about it. So, thank you to Sandy for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun.
And we can say, see you next week, because we're going to see each other next week. Oh my God, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Our music today, as always, was provided by IODA PromoNet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. You know where to find us? MyTakeOnTV.com. I don't know where that came from. TVTimes3.com. Spell it all out.
Where you can find where we all are.
Yeah. Twitter and iTunes and all the various locations you can now find us. Where does Pouty Housel watch us? She always says she's watching us somewhere. Or listen, not watch us, listening to us. Stalker. Oh, Patty. No, she always says something. She always posts it, and I never know where it actually is.
I don't know, but as you know, you can review us on iTunes. You can you can listen to us on Stitcher.
That's what it is. Maybe that's what she's listening to us. I don't know. So, yeah.
We are everywhere.
We are everywhere. We're everywhere. Okay, so with that, I have to go to a softball game.
With that, I need to go get something to eat.
Gotta eat. I will see you guys next week.
Thanks, bye. Guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.